everyone that is listening today. Now, of course, this topic today that we're talking about is miracles. And I just jumped in there and told you that this topic is miracles, y'all, because I'm excited about the guest that I have today, Pastor Janetta, you know, from Indianapolis. She's going to come in and share with you shortly. But I'm not okay. Why? We have a special program that's going to take place today. And for all of you that are listening, please go ahead and share with your friends and family about this special message. Now, we're going to talk about the author, but this book, A Family of Miracles, every single story in this book is authentic. And these are not all the miracles. These are not all the miracles, y'all. So I want you to go ahead and get your water, get your tea, so that you can sit down at this time and listen to this amazing woman talk about the miracles in her family. Now, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening to I'm Not Okay Why on Really Real Radio. I am Coach Deb, and I just want to shout out to all my faithful listeners. And let me tell you, I'm going to be giving at least two books away throughout this throughout the broadcast. So for those of you that are listening, I want you to make sure that you chime in to the Facebook page, Deborah Bryant Montgomery, also Really Real Radio and I'm Not Okay Why Facebook page. I need for you to let me know that you're listening, because what I'm going to do is be giving a couple of books throughout the broadcast, okay? So I want you to pay attention. And if you have questions for Pastor Janetta, I want you to have those questions because we're going to talk about something particular in the book, not just the, all the miracles and her sharing testimony, but there's a chapter in the book that's called A Test of Faith. And that story is going to wow y'all. You need to get the book so that you can read these stories for yourself. But I just want to thank you. For those of you that are listening, you know, I'm Not Okay Why is a broadcast that talks about the things that we're not okay with in our community. And what I am focused on is mental health. That's what I'm focused on, is mental health in our community. And you know, when it comes to being sick and trusting God, you know, you will have some people to believe that you are cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, for you to believe God for healing, for you to believe God for anything. But the word of the Lord declares that faith without works is dead. So it is important to talk about the things that you don't understand, the things that you have questions about when it comes to family and history. Okay, so you see, I'm Not Okay Why it's touching on a whole lot of things. So we are broadcasting at Really Real Radio. So y'all log in into the app so you can hear the entire broadcast. I'm Coach Deb, and I'm fixing to bring my sister in, Pastor Janetta. Welcome. To the broadcast.
Hello, everyone, and good afternoon to everyone. Just so wonderful to be able to be on with you guys this evening. And we just thank God for this blessed woman of God for allowing us to come on and share the great testimonies that God has done. You know, we can do nothing without him. So it's God be the glory for everything that he has done. So I think this evening, I just wanted to tell you that I'm Pastor Janetta Tyler. My husband and I pastor a church, and we are, well, I guess we're in our 20th year of pastoring. And we started in our living room. Started in our living room with three souls that faithfully came to hear what God had to say. And they end up got saved that particular day. So that's the great thing. But also, I'm a chaplain. I work in the hospital, taking care of sick people, praying for sick people, seeing many people that are sick, that the doctors have given them up. And God, nobody else but him, comes by and raise them up. So that is just one of the great things of the experience that we have seen in the hospital of God, sparing the lives of so many people that the doctors say is nothing else that we can do. We also, down through the years, have worked in nursing. So we have worked in nursing probably since, I think, in 73, we started off going to school for working, dealing with patients. So just seemed to be one of the gifting that God has allowed me to be able to take care of those that are sick. And so I think it, a lot of that kind of stems back to my childhood. When I was when I was born at the age of 2 years old, my mom and my auntie noticed that I wasn't able, you know, I wasn't able to walk like all the other kids was walking. And so when they taken me to the doctor, I ended up having to go in the hospital and stay a year away from my family because we didn't have a hospital in our hometown. So I grew up in the hospital alone. During that particular time, had surgery, and I'm going to try to get to the miracle part of this. I didn't grow up running around playing with all the other children. I grew up laying in a bed with a cast up to my chest, watching everybody else play. But during that time that they did the surgery, after I graduated from high school, at the age of 43, my leg went completely out. And I wasn't able to walk again. I was in a wheelchair. And during that particular time, I went to the doctor and, you know, looking for them to fix my leg. And as I went, the doctor told me, you need to go to a birth defect hospital. So I went to the birth defect hospital. When I got there, they checked me out and everything and began to look at me. And the doctor scratched his head. He couldn't understand. He say, at the age of 2 years old, and you're 43 now, look like somebody should have redone your leg. Because as I grew, they should have replaced what they had put in there as a baby. And it was never done. So from 2 years old to 43, God kept my leg. One of the things that the Lord had told me, he said, the same way I kept the children of Israel's shoes from wearing out, I kept your leg from wearing out. And so that was a miracle within itself, because there's no way that I was supposed to have been walking around all those years with not having that surgery done. Not only that.
If you'd allow me to just interject, what exactly was it that was wrong?
I didn't have a socket. You know how your leg got a socket, a hip socket?
Yes.
I wasn't born with a hip socket. So they had to build one and cut a hole and put prosthesis in there to be able to walk. So right here today, that's what I have, a prosthesis.
But yet you walk in heels.
Yes, I walk in heels every day. Every day. And that's amazing within itself. The doctor, when they did the surgery, they told me I would never be able to walk in heels anymore. And because of the extent of how damaged my hip was, I'm supposed to be still walking with a cane. I had the surgery. When I had the surgery, I came out, and this is another miracle part. When I had the surgery, I came out of the surgery. I hope you all can see, but my leg was this much longer than the other one. So I end up like, God, why go through the surgery and come out worse than what I was? Didn't understand. So with the leg being much longer than the other, I didn't want nobody to see me like that. So I crawled to the bathroom. I would crawl around on the floor wherever I needed to do, because I didn't want nobody to see me walking, trying to walk like that. But I prayed every day. And God straightened that leg out. And now my leg is even. Now, Dr. Deborah has seen me in person, and she see how I'm able to walk without a cane. I'm able to walk with heels. Doctor say I would never walk heels. I would never ride a bike. I ride a bike. I walk in heels, and I do whatever I want to do. Not only that, it's amazing to them how I was able to carry six babies on a hip like this. So the doctors are really in amaze. But the miracle also, God just done so much with this hip. When the pandemic started, which is 2021?
It was 2019, because remember, it's COVID-19 is what they called it. So it started in 19.
Okay. Well, in 2019, when the COVID hit, I was going to the store one day, and I didn't realize what was wrong. I knew I had kind of started having some pain in my hip. So I was going to the store, and I was walking one-sided. And I kept doing that. I'm like, something ain't right. So I went to the doctor to get it checked out. Do you know I went to the doctor, and they told me that the screws was coming loose and that I needed to redo the whole surgery all over again. And that was not going to happen. I'm like, no, we're going to pray. So I went home, and on the x-ray, it shows you where the screws was loosening up. I got the paperwork that shows where they say that the screws are loosening up. I went back in March of this year, and everything is back in place. I don't have to have the surgery all over again because God has put it back in. Not only that, the prosthesis that they put in, as you look at the x-ray, you can actually see where God has grew a bone in the inside of what they have done. Yes. And you can see it on the x-ray. So they are really amazed. Even right now, it's been, I think, over 20 years since I had that done. That was like, what, 2003 up to now? That's about 20-some years, right? Close to it. Yeah. So it's been over 20-some years since I had the surgery, and I haven't had to have it redone. Most people, and I'm not going to say all people, but a lot of people that I know that has a total hip replacement or a knee replacement, they have to have it redone. I've seen them have to have it redone in a year, sometimes even 6 months. But God has kept my knee, has kept my leg, and I haven't had to have it redone. I fell down 15 flights of stairs and landed on concrete. And when the ambulance them came, they thought surely I had knocked it out of place because I wasn't able to move. I couldn't get off the floor. I couldn't stand for nobody to even pick me up. So the ambulance told my husband, we need to take her to the hospital. I think she done knocked it out of place. I said, no, I need y'all to put me in the bed. I don't need to go to the hospital. So I got in the bed. All night long, I had to lay there because I couldn't move that leg. I couldn't pick it up. I couldn't move it at all. I just laid there and prayed all night. And God, the next morning, I was able to get up and walk like nothing had happened. And I landed on concrete. And so it's been a test over and over again with this leg because the devil was just mad. Like, we don't, you know, I think he's just trying some kind of way to see if he can mess this up. But I have failed 3 times on concrete. And each time that leg, I'm not able to move it. You know, if your leg is knocked out of socket or whatever, you ain't got no strength to pick it up. You can't do nothing. But God took care of it. So when I had the surgery, and as I was saying, the leg was longer than the other one, I went to therapy. They supposed to stay 2 weeks in therapy. And I went to therapy and stayed like 4 days. And they began to say, every time you come down, you done improve so much. So instead of staying 2 weeks, I stayed 4 days. So when I went home, they was going to send therapy to my house because I couldn't lift this leg. I couldn't walk on it. I didn't have strength. You know how a person have a stroke and they can't use the leg? That's the way my leg was. And so they told me to go home and religiously do therapy 3 times a day. I didn't do that. I went home and prayed 3 times a day. And I laid in that bed and looked up to God. And I'm like, God, the woman with the issue of blood, you healed her, dried up the blood. You know, you healed Peter's mother-in-law when she had a fever. And God, you even raised Lazarus from the dead. And I ain't dead, God. I'm still alive. I just need you to pick the leg up, God. That's all I need. And guess what? God picked the leg up.
Yes.
Right while I was laying in the bed, my leg literally went up, and I've been walking ever since. When I went to the doctor, they had written a lift for to go in my shoe, because as I told you, after I had the surgery, the leg was longer than other. So they had written a prescription for me to get a lift to put in the shoe. I told my husband, I said, I'm not doing that. I'm going to put toilet tissue in my shoe because I don't want nothing permanent, because God going to straighten the leg out. And that's what I did. I put toilet tissue in my shoe. And one day I put my feet in my shoe and my leg was perfectly normal. And right here today, I don't wear no lift. I don't put no tissue in my shoe. I don't do none of that. My leg is working fine. So God is a miracle working God. I think it's Mark chapter 9, what it said. If thou can believe, all things, not some things, but all things are possible to him that believe. So I always tell people that, you know, our bodies, God created us. And he said he fearfully and he wonderfully made us. So I'm like, God, if you fearfully and you wonderfully made us, if I need a new heart, you can give me a new heart. Right? Yes. Absolutely. You can do it, God. I used to have many strokes when I was younger. And I had so many mini strokes until I damaged my heart. And you know, when the muscle in your heart is damaged, that's irreversible. They tell you, you know, that part of the heart is just dead. Do you know right here today, my heart is perfectly normal. It's not damaged anymore. They had gave me the test that they had done was showing me how much percentage that was damaged. It's not damaged anymore. God gave me the new heart. And so I don't have chest pains like that anymore. I used to stay in the hospital going because I would have the chest pains, because I had a sister, her and I both had the same heart condition, valves problem. And she had surgery at 25, spent all her life going back and forth to the hospital. She had probably about 5 open heart surgery. We had the exact same condition. I never had to have surgery. Never. And I'm still doing fine.
Is she living?
It's a miracle work. She just died this year in August. She was 70 years old, but she was 25 when she had her first surgery. So God kept her a long time.
You did.
Yes. And they had given her up probably, I guess, probably about 20 years ago. They had gave her up. She called me on the phone and was telling me she was crying. She said that she needed surgery and the doctor was giving her 1% to live. And they didn't want to do the surgery because they just knew she was going to die on the table. So when she called me, I said, oh, girl, you're going to be all right. We ain't gonna accept that. You're going to be all right. I'm on my way. So I got the family together and we went to St. Louis, went in the room, prayed with her. And the doctors came in and they just gave us all this bad news, telling us why she didn't need to have the surgery. And she said, I want the surgery. So she went to surgery. In the recovery, before she actually went in there, that they sent a team of doctors in the room. And they say, you know, from 25 up until now, you have had a good life. And we really think you should just leave well enough alone. And if God wants to spare you, you know. She started crying. I said, oh, no, girl, we ain't finna do that. Uh-uh. You finna go have the surgery. You're gonna be all right. She had the surgery and came out all right and lived 20 years longer than what they had expected. He's a miracle working God. He extended her life just like he extended Hezekiah's life. He can do it. So he's a miracle working God. But my leg situation, when I went through that trauma situation, that is when God laid it on my heart to write the book of Family of Miracles. That particular book, I suppose been writing the book about hidden handicap, because that's okay. What God gave me. Okay. And I still haven't written it. I got to write that. What I'm telling you all now, I got to write that part. But Hidden Handicap is the name of the book because I went all the way through school and I didn't tell nobody that I had a messed up leg. I never talked about it. When I go to a PE or gymnastic, I couldn't take gymnastic like the other kids. But I never told the teacher why I couldn't take it. And I just told my mom, just write them a letter and just say for doctor's reason that she's not going to be able to do it. And so I hid that from all of my classmates. They never knew that I had a leg like that. But I did everything that I wanted to do. I didn't let that handicap stop me from doing like the other children was doing. But I knew with the gymnastics, my mom wasn't gonna let me do that. So I didn't do the gymnastics. But anything else, I did it. I went to modeling school, then you have to do back, I don't know how they do it now, but back in the day when you go to modeling school, you have to learn how to do pivots and you would have to pivot your leg and stuff. With my hip being like that, the doctor said I shouldn't have been able to do that, but I did. So that was another goal that I was determined that I was going to do. And so the great determination and faith in God, we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. So we put our faith in God. We trust God in everything that we do, even with having the six children. I think in the book, Deborah was telling me about a test of faith. This were an accident that my youngest son, my baby son, at the time, I think he was like 13 or 14. He had wanted to get a job. So he got a job cutting grass. And he was on a riding lawnmower. Being on the riding lawnmower, I was at home and I received a phone call saying, get to the hospital right away. Your son just cut all his toes off. Can you only imagine how dramatic that was for somebody to call you and tell you something like that? It really just kind of put me in a daze there for a minute. But then I pulled myself together. I'm like, okay, God, my son gonna need some new toes. And then I encouraged everybody else around me and letting them know that it's going to be all right. So we get to the hospital. My son laying up there with his toes looked like hot dogs that had been overcooked, his toes were just busted open, all 10 of them, not just one or two. But all of the toes was just open wide. And you could see the bone. But the only thing was holding the toe on was a piece of skin. I mean, very little skin. And they was just dangling. So I asked the doctor, I said, well, can't y'all cover them up? Because I didn't want him to be looking at his toes like that. They said, no, ma'am. It's best that we let him see that so he can understand why we're going to have to cut them off. I'm like, the devil is a lie. Y'all ain't gonna cut my son's toes out. We're going to believe God. And we just kept praying. It was 100 people came to the hospital that day, that night. They all sit in the waiting room with us. And as we was getting ready to go to surgery, the whole crew of people. Now, I'm not just telling y'all 100. It was actually 100. It was our church. They all came to the hospital. And as he was going to the surgical room, all these people was walking behind the bed. The doctor was like, I don't think the president even get that much attention. He had so much guests at the hospital, we had put a sign on the door because all these people was coming to the hospital to see him. And so they had to, back then they used to give you a room with another patient. They had to put him in a private room because it was so many people. So they did the surgery, but they told us, we're going to do the surgery, but ma'am, I'm going to tell you, I don't think it's going to work. They was constantly telling us that it wasn't going to work. So when they did the surgery, they got halfway through the surgery, and I think they got shocked. That doctors came, sent somebody out to tell us that they was halfway through with the surgery, the blood was running through the toes like it should, and everything was looking good. So that gave everybody hope. Do you know, when it was all over, they did the surgery, everything was perfect. They told us to wait at least an hour just to make sure that this blood was going to keep running through the toes and that it was going to work. We waited an hour, and God let that blood kept running through the toes. And he's walking fine. He was in a wheelchair for about a year, had 100 some, pins in his toes, you know, because they connected that stuff and tried to put it together. But he was in the wheelchair, got out of the wheelchair, got back to walking, and he's still walking today, doing good. Haven't had to have no more surgery, doing well. But that's a test of faith, because that right there, you know, when you look and you see something that drastic, you know, toes, I mean, you had to see those toes. It didn't look like they could even put that back together. But God. And he's walking around, he's skating, he's playing basketball, and he's so elated about his toes. And so he's like, Mom, I'm going to skate until I can't skate no more. Because he's so happy that he got feet that he can walk on. The doctors had told him, I think at one time he ended up caught a real bad infection in his toes. And it was so bad until they was actually stinking. When you went in the hospital, you had to cover your nose. And they had about 3 or 4 doctors come in to look at his toes. And this was after they had did that surgery. And so that was another test of faith, because, you know, we just came through that situation. Now, here we is, you about to lose the toes again. Every doctor that came in to look at his toes that particular day told us that they was going to have to cut him off. But God brought him through it once again. He didn't have to get his toes cut off. So he's really enjoying skating and playing basketball. He's 40, what is he? I think he's about 43 now. But he's doing well with his toes. God is so.
How old was he when he had the surgery?
About 13. Wow. 13 or 14 years. Yeah, he was a teenager. And what was happening as he was out playing, not out playing, but as he was out cutting the yards, you know, the way the doctors put it to us, that if it had have been just a regular lawnmower, it probably wouldn't have cut it up so, I mean, as bad as it was. But because it was a riding lawnmower, it just crushed, you know, it don't cut pretty, it just crushed stuff up. So it was horrible. But God brought him through.
And you know, go ahead and finish what you were saying, because I just gotta know, whenever you've done that statement, I just gotta know your mental place, you know, okay, with these different things. Go ahead and finish sharing so that you can.
Well, one thing is that with all this stuff going on, one thing that really helps a lot with me, as far as my mental status of dealing with all these tragic situations, when I got the home church that I was brought up in, we had faith class every Sunday at 6 p.m. And I never missed not one faith class. Faith class. And it was about healing. It was a faith class on healing. And he taught that every Sunday at 6 p.m. And so that's what built my faith, listen to faith over and over again. You know how the Bible said faith come by hearing, and mm-hmm. hearing by the word of God? Mm-hmm. So you keep hearing faith that many years, you know, over and over again, and then going home studying and reading, and then you look in the Bible. And what I like to tell people is that it's one thing for us to know the word of God, but it's another thing to actually be able to do the word of God. And the Bible tells us, what is that scripture? Don't just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer also. So a lot of times when I teach faith class at my church too, but when I teach or preach, I'm always teaching or preaching what I've already experienced. So when I preach and I teach, I tell people this, I'm not telling you something that I think. I'm not just telling you something I read in a book. I'm telling you something that I have actually experienced. And I know it works. No doubt about it, I know it works. And so what we have to do, eat the word of God. I tell people, eat the word of God, digest the word of God, and then live the word of God. And so keep feeding yourself the word. If you know, we need faith more so than not just healing, but everyday life. Everyday life. And even in my booklet, you'll find that finance. I had a roof put on my house. And you know, when they put a roof on your house, they turns around, they do their little part, and then you have to pay the deductible, right? It was a hard time for me, and I couldn't pay it. I'm like, God, you got to take care of this. God turned around and paid that deductible. It wasn't no little bit of money either. I don't know if that was, I don't forgot exactly whether it was $1,000, $2,000, something like that. Whatever it was, I got the paperwork, and they sent me the thing saying paid in full. I had $100,000from doing the surgery on my hip, $100,000. The hospital paid it in full. They had been sending me the bill for it, and I took it to God. Because I'm like, God, this ain't not my bill. This is your bill. So I took the thing and put it in prayer, laid it down, prayed over it, and gave it to God. Lord, I need you to pay this. The Bible said the earth is the Lord in the fullness thereof. So all the money and everything belongs to God. He said we can ask whatsoever we will. And so we can ask, but he also promised that he'll supply our every need. So we trust God and believe God. God going to bless us with what we need. And so you need faith in God for every walk of life. If it's not for you, it may be somebody in your family. So it's good to read those scriptures, get it in your heart. Because I always tell people, if you was out on a desert and your Bible got burned up, there's no preacher around, there's nobody there to encourage you, what are you going to do? You got to have the word in your heart.
Oh, that's good.
Uh-huh. And so we have to realize that God is the source of our help. He's the one that make everything all right. He's the one that we have to depend on. And so we as children of God, as far as believing God or praying for the sick or whatever we do, God works through us. And a lot of times, I'm going to give you this, a lot of times people don't receive their healing. I'll say if you go to a healing service, a lot of times people may not receive their healing because sometimes they may be too familiar with the person that's speaking. And instead of them believing God for what they need, they sit up trying to figure out whether this person really got the gift for healing. And they miss their blessing. Another thing, the minute that we pray, God hears us right then and there when we pray. So when we pray the prayer of faith, we got to believe that ourselves. God want us to believe what we're talking about. We got to believe. And so when we pray the prayer of faith, just believe that it's already done. Don't get discouraged if you don't receive your miracle right then and there. Now, when I say receive, because see, it's a difference in healing and miracles.
Uh-huh.
You can receive healing, but a miracle is something that's done like that. And the doctor don't have nothing to do with it. You ain't even got nothing to do with it. Give you an example. I broke my toe. And when I broke my toe, I had did that years ago. And I ended up going to the doctor and they put it in a shoe. And I walked around for 2 or 3 weeks, you know, with the big boot on. So this particular night, and this was just probably about 2 years ago, when I broke my toe, at first I was like, oh, no, not again. And I called the doctor and told him about it. Like, Ms. Tyler, I think you done broke the toe again. You can come in today. And I'm like, no, that's okay. I'm going to be all right. I got off that phone, laid hands on that toe. I'm like, God, okay, I need a new bone. And I need it before Sunday because I need to wear my heels. That's the way I talk to God. So I prayed for it. I was limping. It was sore. Couldn't walk on it. Put it down, you know. And so I prayed for it. And then I ended up leaving out of my bedroom, going into the kitchen. And I went in there and I said, I am walking on my toe. So I'm like, whoa, God, you know what? You done did that. I need you to give the complete bone. I need you to fix it up because I need to wear my heels Sunday. Do you know when Sunday came, I was able to wear my heels. I wasn't limping. And I even shouted and praised God on that foot. But God did it like that. A miracle. My husband had a carpal tunnel in his hand. And his thumb was messed up and he couldn't hardly work it. So what we did was we prayed for his thumb and asked God to heal the ligaments and put all the vessels and stuff. And he did his finger like that. He couldn't stand it. I told him, I said, take your hand. And I did this before the church to show them that God can do anything. Took that finger and I pulled it. He didn't have no strength. No strength in that finger. When I pulled it, he couldn't pull back. But after prayer, he was able to have strength to pull me. No pain. No pain. And that happened instantly right then and there in the church. And right here today, you don't have no problem with carpal tunnel. So God can do miracles. But at the same time, as you look in the Bible, and it's, you know, we look at it like, oh God, you know, he don't always heal like that. No, he don't. But the thing is, the lepers got healed. What the Bible said, as they went, they were healed. You know? So as they went, they were healed. It happened as a process, as they went about their way. But we got to believe that, hey, it's already done. You just waiting on the manifestation. So start confessing that I'm already healed. I'm just waiting on God to manifest.
That's good. That's good. That's good. You're helping somebody today. You're helping somebody today because one thing about human beings, we need patience when it comes to, you know, healing. And now you broke something down that I think is just so good. You gave us the difference between healing and a miracle. Mm-hmm. So that's whatever it is you're asking God, you got to understand how it works.
All right. That's right. And it's so important because otherwise we'll get discouraged. That's why a lot of times people get prayer and while they're in the service, the pain is gone. But then they step outside the door and the pain is back. And what they do, they pick it back up. And then they start saying, oh, my heart hurt. Oh, my chest. Oh, my heart hurt. No, no, no. You don't have that. It's gone. That's just the devil giving you symptoms because the devil will give us symptoms to make us feel like it's still there. But we walk by faith, not by feeling. So we believe the word, not what we feel. Don't claim it. Even when we go to the doctor, I always just say, well, the doctor said. The doctor said I got this.
The doctor said. Oh, that's God. Another good one. The doctor said.
Uh-huh. But I believe God. And so that's got to be the source of everything. I believe God. And he'll do it. He will do it. I don't about been three times in my life where the doctors have walked in the room and actually told me, my husband, we done all we can do. We're going to just try to keep her comfortable. And I laid there in the bed on my deathbed witnessing to the nurse. At first, the nurse came in the room and started asking me about God because she heard me playing. I was playing my church music. And she started asking me questions about the Lord. And I'm laying there dying. And I got mad. I'm like, don't she say I'm dying? And she'll be asking me all these questions, you know, because I was so sick and I was weak and I didn't feel like it. And God just spoke to me, like, talk to her. So I sit up and start witnessing to the lady about God. And God turned around and healed me. And everybody on the floor was so amazed. We had a party at the hospital. Because they like, we just knew you was gone. But God can do anything. He gave me, just like the woman with the issue of blood, for 12 years, didn't have no blood, losing all that blood. I had, my blood count had dropped to 5.
Oh, wow.
At home.
That's real.
Yes, I was getting out of here. I was losing blood like water. And when I got to the hospital, they was rushing, trying to do this and that. They ended up putting me in intensive care. And they was rushing, saying they had to give me a blood transfusion. They did give me 1 pint of blood. And then when it was time for them to do the next pint, I had lost all of it. It had came right back out. And they seen the little toilet that they put by the bed, the doctors, the nurse, they seen all this blood that I was losing. So they know that it had came out of my body. My husband came out to the hospital. We touched and agreed and prayed, and my blood count went up from 5 to 8. You hear me? From 5 to 8. And then they told to keep watching me to see if it was going to drop back down. God stopped it. It didn't bleed no more. They took me up to do an upper GI to look at my stomach in the inside to see if they could see where the bleeding was coming from. When they got in there to take a look, everything had stopped. Nothing was bleeding. And God just kept bringing the blood count up. When I left the hospital, my blood count was 10. You know your blood count don't go up that fast. They give you blood pills and, you know, all kinds of stuff. But instantly, God did it. He gave me the blood transfusion. And right here today, I haven't had to have a blood transfusion. Whatever God did has just been working, because I was hemorrhaging in the stomach. I had appendicitis that ruptured on me. And the appendicitis, you know, when that rupture, if you don't go to the hospital the right way, they said the poison, you know, kill you, right? Appendicitis, when it bursts, my appendix bursted. I stayed home 2 whole weeks before I even went to the hospital. And when I got there, they told my husband, we're going to have to rush fast before this poison gets in my bloodstream. I'm laying in there and everything, I'm getting weaker and weaker. I couldn't stand hear nobody talk. I was cold as I don't know what. I mean, I was getting out of here. And they didn't know what to do for me. They were scared to even try to take me to surgery. They called in a specialist. He said, well, I want to try to just take a look and see if there's anything we can do for you. So what they did, they looked in the inside. I had stayed in the hospital for, I had stayed in the hospital. I had already been at home 2 weeks. What is that, a week, 2 weeks, something like that. When I got in the hospital, I'm studying sick and in pain. But when that specialist came and looked in the inside, everything looked like a baby's brand new face. I mean, it was clean. No poison, no infection, no nothing. Now, I got that picture. I got the actual picture of where they took at that particular time.
Before and after.
Yes. Yes. I got before and after. And I can even go back to probably 2 or 3 years before that of what my stomach was looking like in the inside and what it looked like that particular day when they did it. You wouldn't even believe it's the same person. Clean, nothing. And so what makes it so great, God even moved the past scars, like scar tissues that you have, that I had in my stomach. He removed the scar tissues. You don't see no scar tissues on it. But on those other reports, you can see the scar tissues. Yeah. So God can do anything.
Yes, he can.
Yes, he can. But that's what prompted me to write my book when I had the leg surgery. I supposed to have been writing about my leg. And the day that I got ready to write the book, I was in California, Redondo Beach, where my son lived. And I woke up that morning, I written that book in one day. And I told my sister, that was like in August. And I told my sister, I said, I want my book ready and published by December on my birthday. And she got it done. She got it done. And so as I sit down and start writing, God just organized the book the way he wanted it and what he wanted me to write that particular time. Because several years before, he had told me to write about hidden handicap. But when I sit down and start writing that particular day, he had me to write about my family, a family of miracles. And it started from my husband all the way to all six of my children. Each one of them have healing testimonies where God had worked a miracle. A lot of my grandchildren are miracles children. I have one, But I have one granddaughter, her heart stopped before she was born. And the girl came to me, she said, Mom, the baby ain't kicked all day. So she got ready to go to the hospital. I told her, I said, wait, let me pray for you before you go. So we prayed. When she got to the hospital, she called back and she said, Ma, the baby still ain't kicked. I said, oh, girl, the baby gonna kick. So I said, it's gonna be okay. She got off the phone, probably about 15 minutes next. She called me back. The doctor done came in the room and they all excited. I can hear all the noise in the background. The baby to start kicking. Yes, God did it because they had checked her out. They couldn't find the heartbeat. And so on the day that she actually got ready to have the baby, we went to the hospital and she got in her room. And I said, I'm going to go downstairs, get some coffee. I went downstairs to go get some coffee. By the time I got downstairs, she called me, Ma, it's doing it again. They can't find the heartbeat. I said, girl, that baby's going to be okay. I'm on my way. So I get upstairs. All the doctors, they had told her that they can take the baby. They're going to have to rush and take it, do a C-section. So I get upstairs. All these people is in her room. And things had got so bad, they was getting ready, preparing her to try to get her to surgery. I'm standing in the door, y'all. And they come with the cart, and the cart rolling by me. I just reached over with one finger, you hear me? And I touched her on her stomach with one finger in the name of Jesus, breathe. And that baby started breathing. And they turned around and backed the cart up. They backed the bed up, went back in the room, and delivered the baby right there.
Oh, my God.
Yes. And she'll be graduating from high school next year. Still breathing.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Uh-huh. So I had another grandbaby where my daughter developed diabetes real bad. And when the baby was born, the baby was, you know, those old dolls we used to have back in the day? They were like rag dolls. They were real limp.
Yep.
When this girl was born, she was like a rag doll. We got the picture of her. I mean, she just dangling. No life. They sit up. She was breathing, but she was barely breathing. The heart was about to stop. So the mother-in-law came and got me, and she said, Jeanette, we got to go. The baby ain't breathing. And I'm like, okay. So I gets up, and I didn't get along, but I gets up, and I'm walking down the hall. She come back and get me and drag me down the hall. Come on, girl, we got to go. So we gets down to the room, and I walks in the room. They got all these tubes on the baby, and I see the baby, you know, doing that shouted breathing. That's what the baby was doing. Once again, I took that one finger and laid on that baby in the name of Jesus, breathe. Before I prayed for the baby, the doctor came in and he shook his head. He said, ma'am, he said, I'm so sorry. I said, oh, it's okay. Pray for the baby. She breathed and she's doing well today. No problem. But God did it. God did it. Yes, sir. So that's just some of the stuff. I'm telling you, it's been a thing, but the thing is that God turns the situation around. Mm-hmm. He turns the situation around. And in the midst of going through all of that, you know, I get excited just talking about it, because it's like it just happened yesterday. And I rejoice all over again because I'm excited about what God do. What he do, what he done did, what he's still doing. I get excited about that. So
that's just... Are you ever anxious? Like when there's a situation, you know, what is your, you know, what is your immediate attitude when you hear that there's a situation? Do you immediately go into prayer, or do you have to
My thing is, immediately when something, and I don't know how God does it, but you know, God deals with people different.
Right.
But with me, see, like my faith works more in tragic situation. When it's like a life and death situation, see, like the faith just kick in. And so I immediately go into that mode, hey, God can do anything. Because my mind goes to the God that we serve, the one that got all power in heaven and earth, the one that created us. And I constantly think about, wow, he made our eyes, he made our nose, he made the little vessels in our bodies and all this stuff so detailed. God, you did all that. Why you can do it again? Because you God. So that's where my mind goes when it's a situation like that. It goes directly to that. My husband had third stage cancer, and we didn't know he had third stage cancer. But God showed it to me in a vision. I was at a conference, and I went to sleep, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and the windows was literally like shaking. You know, that's what I saw. And it was real scary. And I could hear my husband saying, you know, he was laying there, and I was like, I was calling his name, and I was like, Willie! So I'm calling his name, but like he's far, far away, and he couldn't hear me. So I ended up coming back home, and it kept bothering me. So I just kept praying about it, About a year later, he don't like going to the doctor. He never sick. He got up one night and he said, I got to go to the hospital. And I'm like, boy, what's wrong? He's like, I got to go to the hospital now. And he rushed to the hospital. My daughter took it. They called back and say he had a tumor that was that big. It was a huge tumor in his kidney. And so they were, you know, saying surgery. So they told him the next day to go see the doctor, because down through the years, they had saw a little bitty small tumor that they had been watching. But this thing looked like it just blew up overnight. And so when we got to the doctor, they was like, oh, the emergency room people probably just got excited. It's okay. And so I told him, I said, well, I want another MRI done. And I had to be very persistent, because they didn't want to do it because they had just did one. And they redid the MRI. This was the farthest thing from our mind. So we goes to the doctor the next day. They call us in the little quiet room that they had off in this little room. And they showed us the kidneys and all this big old tumor and stuff, and how they prepared him for, what you call it, chemotherapy, radiation, whatever that stuff. Yeah, mm-hmm. They prepared him for all that and the surgery. And this was right during the time of, what, I think it was the time of the pandemic, or Christmas or something. But anyway, They made preparation for the surgery, but in the midst of the preparation for the surgery, I end up, let me see, how did I do that? In the midst of the preparation for the surgery, taking him to the doctor 2 weeks before the surgery, he lost 80 pounds within 2 weeks. And he was looked like bones right before my eyes. I mean, I was literally watching my husband disappear right before me. And he's like 6'3", you know, weighing over, what, 280 or something like that. But he got down to just small, just looked like he was just fading away. So when they did the surgery, they was able to move the tumor, but they had already told us that they thought that it had spread it. And they signed him up for chemotherapy and all that. We got up every morning at 6 a.m. Me and all of my children went down to the church and we prayed every Saturday morning at 6 a.m. asking God to bless him. And so after they did the surgery, we came home, you know, they have to do, what you call it? I forgot what you call it. I can't think of it right now, but they did this test to try to see if it had spread it. Okay. When they did the test to see if it had spread it, I think 2 weeks later, they called us on the phone. And so we got good news and we got bad news. We was able to get the tumor, but your husband got third stage cancer. And I know, okay, it only goes to 4, so he's already 3. So that was really dangerous because a lot of people get third stage, it's already done spread it and attached itself to something else. So the way God explained it to us, because after the surgery, he was literally, all of the infection and blood was just running out of him. I mean, the bed was full. They had to just constantly take the sheets off the bed. All this stuff was just running out. And they wanted to take him back to surgery. But thank God, my husband said no. And we was like, honey, you need to go to surgery to let them fix this. He's like, no. So he didn't go back to surgery. We sitting here watching this blood and infection just pour. But that's God's way of healing, of taking all that intoxic stuff out of him. God did it. And they didn't have to take him to surgery. It stopped on its own. He went all weekend going through that. It stopped on its own. And so God, the way God put it to us was like, he said, just like the ocean, you know how the ocean come up on the sea and then it only goes so far and it have to go back. Ain't no man out there sending the ocean back, right? It's God. So that's what he told us. He said, just like I let the water come up on the, you know, that ocean and then it goes back. It's just constantly doing it. He said, I kept your husband through it all. I didn't let the infection spread to no parts of his body. It didn't touch nothing yet. And that's at third stage. He didn't have no pain pills that he was taking. He didn't have to have no radiation. He didn't go through none of that. And he's back to his normal health and cancer free. Nobody but God.
You know, we're going to get ready to close, but I just have to I want the people that are listening to just pay attention. They were going to the church praying at 6 a.m. every weekend. And all the while, they weren't seeing any signs of healing. There was other things going on, but it didn't stop them from believing God. Mm-hmm. And then the thing about it is, the Lord had touched your husband in such a way to where he refused to do what the doctors said do, as if he knew that God was doing a new thing. And God was healing him, even though it appeared to be like something worse was taking place. So that's something that we can really just be mindful of, that whenever we ask God to do something, trust the process, trust him to do it, even if it doesn't look like it's being done, even if it's different signs that it's going the opposite way. God is still in charge and he still has the last say. Mm-hmm. So I just want those of you out there that are listening, these testimonies have been so inspiring and motivating. And a lot of these testimonies that you've mentioned, they're not even in this book. They're going to be in the next book, right?
Yeah, they're going to be in the next book, because the one that you got in there, a lot of those are, you know, it's one of each one of my children. But the stuff that I'm telling you now, that'll be in the next book.
This is so exciting. I just want to make mention to the people that, ladies and gentlemen, my sister, she is from Indianapolis, and she's having a book signing. So tell everybody about your book signing so that those that are in that area locally can come by and get a book signed by you and meet you.
Okay. It's going to be the first Saturday in August. The first Saturday in August, this is the one that I would think of, 8163 East 21st Street. That one's going to be the first Saturday in August. But then we have another one that's coming up, and it's going to be June the 29th. And this is going to be at the bookstore. It's called McGee Bookstore. And this is on 56 and, oh my God, I'm going to get the correct address for that. But that's going to be on 56th Street, like 56 and Pendleton Pike. And okay. What I'll do is get a flyer and maybe I can send it to you.
Yes, I need you to provide all that information.
Right.
Because I'm going to post it on Really Real Radio, and I'm going to also post it on I'm Not Okay Why Facebook page. You're going to be coming to Atlanta real soon to the radio station.
Okay.
So, yes. Yeah, so when you come, that's going to be an opportunity for the ones that are local. They can actually come to the radio station and meet you. They can also get their book and you can sign it for them as well. And now, like I promised, there's two books I'm giving to the first two people that shared their testimony. The first two people that shared their testimony on Really Real Radio Facebook page or I'm Not Okay Why Facebook page, I am going to give you the book of The Family of Miracles, A Family of Miracles by Pastor Janetta Tyler. You that are listening, the first two people that share a testimony of a miracle or healing, you are going to get A Family of Miracles book today. I will be mailing it to you. So you message me your address and phone number, and I'm going to contact you so that you can get your book. But let me just tell you, oh my goodness, we could go on and on and on. I am so encouraged. I am so encouraged. You know, I mean, this thing, it's like you are in a zone when it comes to trusting God for what you want. It's like you really do walk it out. If he said it, it is done. You really walk it out, sis. Yes. You really walk it out. So I want you to tell the people where your church is at in Indianapolis so that they can also come and visit your church and tell them how they can follow you on social media and where they can buy your book.
Okay, well, 8159 East 21st Street. That's where the church is located.
And in also Indianapolis.
Indianapolis, Indiana, right. And also—
What is the name of your church? I'm sorry for interrupting you. What is the name of your church?
Perfecting Love Apostolic Church.
Okay, that's important because they might Google and get the address that way. Okay.
Right. Uh-huh. Okay. Yes. And I got a Facebook page. It's just under my name, Janetta Tyler, but then also it's under Perfecting Love.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah. Perfecting Love. So,
okay. So they can reach you for prayer or for any engagements for you to be able to minister. They can reach you by going to your Perfecting Love Church Facebook page.
Yes, or they can email JanettaTyler@gmail.com.
JanettaTyler@gmail.com. Now spell it because it's not spelled.
J-A-N-N-E-T-T-A.
See, that's different from the norm, the other Janetta, which is an E and then an N-N-E-T-T-A. Okay.
Phone number. They can reach also with this phone number, 317-717-1731.
Okay, great. So now this is what we're going to do. I want you to provide all that information you just shared, and I'm going to post it.
Okay.
I'm going to post it so that people can go and so that they can reach out to you.
Okay.
My sister, let me just tell you, oh mercy to God, I'm gonna have to like relax and just chill and just really, really sit in all this wonderful glory that I'm feeling. I am so inspired. I am so encouraged. I mean, we read the Bible and we read about miracles, but it just seems like a distance sometimes because we didn't know those people. You understand? Mm-hmm. But you are real. You are real. You're my sister. I know you. I've touched you. I've hugged you. We spent time together and you're talking to these people. Mm-hmm. You are a living testimony of miracles, yes, and healings. Mm-hmm. So you are just helping so many people to know, well, shoot, if God did it for her, he will do it for me.
Yeah. And one thing when you're dealing with a life and death situation, you believe God for what it is that you want, and no matter how bad it looks. But my mother-in-law, I just take care of her. She just died in December. But the thing that you look at when you're praying for people, you ask God for what you want. My mother-in-law was ready to go. She was 90 years old. She was ready to go. But my prayer and my husband's prayer was, she had been on diabetes for over, diabetic dialysis.
Dialysis, 30 years, yeah.
30 years. And going back and forth to Dallas 3 times a week for 30 years, oh my God. So our prayer was, God, let her see some good days before she go. Let her be able. I said, God, not only that, you can just let her start urinating again, because she had actually stopped peeing. She wasn't making urine anymore. When we got her, she wasn't eating. She may would eat a little bit of something every 3 days. Do you know, when she stopped dialysis and came home, this lady started eating 3 meals a day. I had to put a snack tray by her bed. 3 meals a day. She was so happy. Family from all over came to see her. I went in to change her one night and the bed was literally wet. Her sister was in the room. I'm like, did you see this? You could tell that it was urine because of the color. She actually started back to urine before she died. God gave that back to her, but she was ready to go. Her husband was dead. She had lost a lot of children. She said, I'm tired. I'm just ready to go. But before she left, she said, I want you and your husband to baptize me. So we baptized her and God blessed her before she left out of here.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, we're going to get ready to go. And before we do, I just want to thank you for this opportunity. We have been planning for the longest time, you know, to do this. Mm-hmm. And I just thank God that he made it happen. So, mm-hmm, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for tuning in for another episode of I'm Not Okay Why. I am Coach Deb. Remember to love yourself. Remember to love yourself and love everybody and be an example. Have an amazing day. You deserve it.